Hello, beautiful people. This is your Fall 2021 AFM 491 podcast. My name is Sarah Oz. I'm your professor. Welcome to a new episode. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode. In this episode, I will be summarizing chapter 7 and I'm going to ask a few easy questions from chapter 7. In chapter 7, I discussed a foreign currency denominated transactions, and then I also discussed a natural hedge transactions as well as hedge accounting. So I'm going to go over some of the important issues, but as always, this is not an exclusive summary of this chapter. There are still so many items you should be studying by watching the lecture videos. Regardless, let's get started. Both the recording of foreign currency denominated transactions and the translation of foreign currency financial statements require the use of currency exchange rates. An exchange rate is simply the price of one currency in terms of another currency. Therefore, in this case, the product is foreign currency. Exchange rates fluctuate on a daily basis. We've covered a bunch of important terminology in this chapter, and we're going to use actually these terms in the following chapter. So, for instance, the spot rate is the rate to exchange currency today, whereas the forward rate is the rate agreed today for exchanging currency at a future date. A forward exchange contract is an agreement between a bank and a customer to exchange currencies on a specified future date at a specified rate. We've covered a forward and future contracts in this course. These are some of the stuff. These are the derivative contracts that you learn in 391. So in this course, we build on that knowledge and we use these contracts to achieve natural hedge as well as hedge accounting transactions. It is important to note that the currency issues can be discussed and analyzed from many different perspectives. There are four main perspectives. One is denominated currency. This is the currency in which the transaction is denominated. Second, recording currency, also known as internal record keeping currency. This is the currency in which the transaction is recorded in the internal accounting records. Third, functional currency. This is the currency of the primary economic environment in which the entity operates. And the last one, presentation or reporting currency. And this is the currency in which the financial statements are presented by the reporting entity. In this chapter, as well as in the following chapter, chapter 8, we also discuss functional currency. As I said, this is the currency of the primary economic environment in which the entity operates. Determining functional currency requires professional judgment, but IFRS offers some guideline in determining the functional currency. The most three important factors are the sales, operating expenses, as well as the competition. And depending whether these transactions are happening in which currency, which currency is being used for these primary transactions, will help you to determine the functional currency. That being said, we covered plenty of factors to determine the functional currency, not in this chapter, but in chapter 8 as well. So again, it is important to look at this concept of functional currency from an overall whole picture perspective. We also discuss the notion of monetary items and non-monetary items. A monetary item is converted into cash at a fixed and predetermined amount of currency. This is important because whether an item, whether an asset or liability is monetary or not, determines which rate you're going to use to translate those transactions. At the end of each reporting period, foreign currency monetary items must be translated using the closing rate. Non-monetary items that are measured in terms of historical costs in a foreign currency must be translated using the historical rate. And finally, non-monetary items that are measured at fair value in a foreign currency must be translated using the exchange rates at the date when the fair value was determined. So now let's go over the hedges. The use of hedging instruments such as forward exchange contracts removes the risks associated with exchange rate changes. If all risks are removed, the hedge is perfect. There are two ways you can achieve a hedging transaction. Is one is a natural hedge transaction. You can either use an offsetting opposite balance, or you can use one of the four derivative contracts, or you can actually achieve hedge transaction by using hedge accounting. There are some points to remember about hedges and accounting for hedges. One is that a hedging instrument is the item used to offset the risk exposure. The hedged item is the item with the risk exposure that the entity has taken steps to modify. The hedge accounting itself is a technical term and is entirely optional. Under hedge accounting, the exchange gains or losses on the hedging instrument will be reported in income in the same period as the exchange gains or losses on the hedged item. As I said, this hedge accounting is optional, and a firm can simply choose to follow a natural hedge transaction. The entity can choose to apply hedge accounting and thereby ensure the gains and losses on the hedged item are reported in income in the same period as the gains and losses on the hedging instrument. This statement also describes the primary difference between hedge accounting and natural hedge transactions. Natural hedge transactions do not guarantee that exchange gains and losses will be recognized in the same period as the gains and losses on the hedged item. But hedge accounting does guarantee that. And why do we care about that? By recognizing the gains and losses in the same accounting period, you may be able to remove volatility in the reported net income. And often investors prefer to see less volatility in the reported net income numbers. To qualify for hedge accounting, four conditions must be met. First, at the inception of the hedge, there is a formal designation and documentation of the hedging relationship and the entity's risk management objective and strategy for undertaking the hedge. Second, the hedge is expected to be highly effective in achieving offsetting changes in fair value or cash flows attributable to the hedged risk, consistently with the originally documented risk management strategy for that particular hedging relationship. Third, the effectiveness of the hedge can be reliably measured. And fourth, the hedge is assessed on an ongoing basis and determined actually to have been highly effective throughout the financial reporting periods for which the hedge was designated. Hedges can be designated for accounting purposes as fair value hedges, cash flow hedges, or hedges of a net investment in a foreign operation. In this course, we're not going to cover fair value hedges, and our focus is going to be on cash flow hedges. In a cash flow hedge, the entity uses a hedging instrument, such as a derivative, to hedge against the fluctuation in the Canadian dollar value of future cash flows, such as future sales. The gain or loss on the hedging instrument is initially reported in other comprehensive income and subsequently reclassified to profit when the hedged item affects profit. And lastly, two more points to make about this chapter. First one is the closing rate is used when the financial statement item can be settled at any time, whereas the forward rate is used when the item must be settled at a future rate. And the last point I want to make about this chapter is the executory contract items should be shown at their net amount in the balance sheet because they will be settled simultaneously and on a net basis. For example, the receivable from and payable to the bank for the foreign currency are offset against each other, and only the net difference is reported as either an asset or a liability. Now I'm going to ask you a few easy questions about this chapter. Most of these questions are true-false statements, but I will be asking a few multiple choice questions as well. So let's get started with the questions. The first one is a true-false statement. Monetary items are translated using the exchange rate at the balance sheet date. Is the statement true or false? I'll repeat the statement. Monetary items are translated using the exchange rate at the balance sheet date. This statement is true. For monetary items, we use the closing rate or balance sheet rate. Second, once a company's functional currency is identified, all transactions denominated in another currency are considered to be foreign currency transactions. Is the statement correct or false? I'll repeat the statement. Once a company's functional currency is identified, all transactions denominated in another currency are considered to be foreign currency transactions. This statement is true. Third statement. Companies sometimes purchase derivative financial instruments to speculate on future foreign currency movements or to protect themselves from future fluctuations in currency rates. I'll repeat the statement. Companies sometimes purchase derivative financial instruments to speculate on future foreign currency movements or to protect themselves from future fluctuations in currency rates. Is the statement true or false? This statement is true. Derivative contracts can be used as investments, or they can be used to offset the risk that the management is facing, and the latter is our focus in this course. The fourth statement. In order to identify the foreign exchange component of a transaction, a company must establish the currency in which its books and records should be maintained. I'll repeat the statement. In order to identify the foreign exchange component of a transaction, a company must establish the currency in which its books and records should be maintained. This statement is true. You have to know which currency you're going to translate your transactions to. And the next statement is, hedge accounting is mandatory. Is the statement true or false? Hedge accounting is not mandatory, so this statement was false. The next question I'm going to ask is a multiple choice question. Which of the following items is a non-monetary item? A, accounts receivable, B, inventory, C, accounts payable, and D, cash. Which of the following items is a non-monetary item? A, accounts receivable, B, inventory, C, accounts payable, and D, cash. The answer is inventory. The rest are monetary items. The next question, what is the exchange rate in effect at the date of the transaction called? Again, what's the term we use to determine the exchange, to define the exchange rate in effect at the date of the transaction called? The correct term is spot rate. The next statement, for practical purposes, an average rate to approximate the actual exchange rate at the date of the transactions for income and expenses may be used as long as these items basically occur evenly over the period being presented. Is the statement true or false? I'll repeat the statement. For practical purposes, an average rate to approximate the actual exchange rate at the date of the transactions for income and expenses may be used as long as these items basically occur evenly over the period being presented. This statement is true. You may use average rates as long as you make the assumption that the revenue transaction and expense transactions are occurring evenly throughout the year or throughout the reporting period. And the last statement I'm going to be asking is, what exchange rates is usually used to report non-monetary assets on the statement of financial position? Again, which rate do we use to report non-monetary assets on the statement of financial position? The answer is historical rate. There's an exception to this rule. If the non-monetary item is being measured at fair value, then you're going to be using the closing rate. But if the non-monetary items are being measured at historical cost, then you're going to be using historical rate. And often, for non-monetary assets, you will end up using historical rate. And this is it, folks. This is Chapter 7. Obviously, we've solved many problems in the lecture videos. So again, I encourage you to solve those problems on your own without looking at the solution. Hopefully, you've enjoyed this chapter. Hopefully, you found this chapter interesting. Talk to you soon in the last chapter, Chapter 8, soon. Until then, be safe and keep translating.